Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
we'll be right back.
Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm weak. No to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. Don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me.
Good morning, good morning, and happy new year. This is from your co-host, Overseer Sadie Ellie, with joy and peace. I am so glad you stopped by the show this morning, because we have another exciting show for starting the new year off right. Hope everyone had a blessed, happy new year this fall. And we're going to get right on our program today. But before we start, I will pray. Praise God, praise God. Lord, you have created a clean heart in each and every one of us this year, dear Heavenly Father. You have renewed spirit within us, Lord Jesus. You have made old things passed away and all things new. You didn't cast us away from your presence, and you didn't take your Holy Spirit away from us when we fail. For you, your mercy, endure it forever. You restored us to the joy of your salvation, dear Heavenly Father. And we say thank you, Lord. Your joy is our strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to each and every one of us. This year, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for crossing us over from the natural to the supernatural. God, we say thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Well, today on our first show of the year, we are talking about suffering for Christ. You know, as I was reading and going over that, you know, I'll probably be giving you different scriptures, so I hope you have your paper and your pencil with you in case it's something you want to write down and go back for a further future reference later on. And thank you so much for each and every person that have come on. Whether on the archives, whether you're at your desk, you're in your car listening by your phone, or you're at home listening on your computer, thank you so much for taking the time out to visit Joy and Peace this morning. Please do come back. Please continue on coming. And if you would like to be on the show, just email me and let me know. I would love to have you on. So now as we go further into the show this morning, you know, the Pharisees of Christ's days did what they thought was great things for God. And most of the things they did was even the right things. They prayed, which you are doing. They fasted, which you were doing. They tithed, which you all are doing. Christ never challenged their action. He challenged their motive. You know, but the word of God says in Luke 11:42, but woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love for God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. You know, they were so blinded by their own self-righteousness, they couldn't see God's true promise. He confronted them with his truth in Matthew 12:7. The word of God says, but if you have known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. You know, some was proud in their poverty while others required the best of everything. But in God's eyes, they suffered from a common malaise, the ego. You know, as we're talking today on suffering, I know a lot of you are saying right now, why am I suffering? Doesn't God care about me? Yes, he does. You know, if you go to Genesis, the 37th chapter and the 28th verse, the word of God says, when the Ishmaelites and who was the Mennonites traded came by Joseph's brother, pulling him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. You know, then I went to Jeremiah 28:18. It said, you showed unfalling love to thousands, but you also bring the consequences of one generation of sins upon the next. We're talking about, why am I suffering? Does God really care about me? Suffering for Christ. You know, sometimes you suffer because of the sins of others.
not your own sin. You know, sometimes the suffering that comes to you just happens for no reason you can see. It is how you react to the suffering that matters. You know, in the Word of God, the woman saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden. Why am I suffering? Suffering for Christ. You know, in Leviticus it was saying in 26:43, at last the people will pay for their sins, for they have continuously rejected my regulation and despised my decree. You know, sometimes God sends suffering as punishment for sin. He disciplines you because he loves you and wants to correct you and restore you to him. Thank God for this kind of suffering, because his actions to get your attention could save you from even greater consequences later. You know, and as I was reading that, Christ was teaching his disciples a simple truth. Trust God. He is sufficient. You know, there is no doubt that each of us need to act in accordance with his principle. All through Scripture, God teaches that words without corresponding action mean absolutely nothing. In a generation in which most people live by fear, God expects his people to live by faith. You know, as I was reading this passage, it leaves no doubt that Christ directs his disciples to take action. No provision with them. They was to live by faith. Those to whom they were ministering would supply their needs. How many of you all today are living by faith? There are also no doubt that Christ has since directed many others to do the same thing. Most notably among them was, you know, one thing that identified those who are chosen by God. But those who impose such hardship on themselves is an attitude of peace and joy. We are talking today about suffering for Christ. You said you are here. You said you are sold out. When he called you, you say, God, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. You know, it's interesting that Bible-believing Christians will sometimes focus on a single scripture to justify that action while ignoring other reference contrary to their personal revelation. This is not to discredit a believer's uniqueness from the word of the world. God called each of us to a radical lifestyle, total commitment to him. My. Today we are talking about suffering for Christ. You know, in on this side, you're going to go through hardship, persecution for Christ's sake, to carry the gospel and do what God say do. When your friends walk away from you, when your loved ones, your family, and you say that, I'm serving God now. I don't do the things I used to do. I'm living for Christ. You know, as I was reading that in the Word of God, he never singled out an individual to such a lifestyle without other verification of this calling. The least of this verification would be love, compassion, and accepting that God doesn't call everyone to sacrifice. You know, the truth is evidence in Scripture. When Peter proclaimed to Christ that he is ready to go to the prison and die for his faith, when we think about suffering for Christ, you know, Christ responded by telling him that he would deny his faith three times before morning. How many of you all have did that? You know, then he reminded his disciples of the time earlier when they had been instructed to go out, taking along no provision. Only this time he gave them new instruction.
This year, 2013, God have already started giving quite a few of you all new instruction on what are you to do this year, to do this month, to do this day. He have given you an assignment. And all he wants you to do is carry the assignment out. Today we are talking about suffering for Christ's sake.
You know, in his word, he said to them, when I sent you out without a purse and a bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? And they said, no, Lord, nothing. And he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it along. Likewise, also a bag, and let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. You'll find that in Luke 22, verses 35 through 36. It's in your Bible, no matter which one you have. If you not have not tore your pages out, it's in there. You know, the possession of absent or material things is not an issue when serving Christ. The attitude about them is, it is important for us not to assume the role of God's advisor in the area of sacrifice. God knows what each of us is called to do. We don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing, or I want to do what they're doing. You may not have paid the price yet for what he have given someone else to do. He already knows the capability of each person for an assignment he have given them. He knows whether they're going to suffer for him, for his sake. He knows whether they're going to give up everything to follow him. He already knows. You know, he equipped us to do it. In the case of this Christian, the evidence was concluded that a lot more prayers would be needed before he could make a decision to suffer for Christ in this way. My. You know, when you start thinking about living like a king, shortly after the prodigal syndrome situation, I came in contact with another Christian who was also in full-time Christian work. But he presented the opposition and far more popular extreme. He said, I am a child of the king. He said, I'm going to live like it. This emphasized his point. He told me about his $40,000 car, his son and daughter's private school, the new house he had purchased with a pool, a jacuzzi, and so on and so on. With a little promptness, he told me how God had directed him into a home sale company with a proven marketing system and how he was one of its leading new distributors. I'm talking about a Christian that we came across. You know, he said it was a great opportunity to help others in a more practical way. He said, I soon learned from his comments that he was prospecting for additional people to help. My. Good morning, Miss Pretty. Thank you for logging in today. Welcome to Joy and Peace. You know, he went on to declare that God really wanted to bless his people. And unless a Christian is materially successful, God isn't blessing him. That's what he thinks. My. You know, how many Christians are selfish? When you think about suffering for Christ, you have to give up some things when you follow in Christ. You can't take everything over. See, this year, we are living in the supernatural. We're doing things in the supernatural. We no longer in the natural.
We are working in the supernatural with Christ. And you know, sometimes God tests you with suffering to encourage you to obey him. You know, sometimes your suffering comes because you have taken a stand for Jesus, for those that's listening in. See, once you take a stand for Jesus and do what God have called you to do, you're going to go through some things. But don't worry about it. You're going to come through it as pure gold when you're doing things for Christ. You know, there's opportunities after opportunities that God will open doors for you. You know, as I got back on selfishness, you know, selfishness is an easy one to promote because most of us were raised with it. Today is virtually dominate our society, selfishness. It's a philosophy called get all you can out of life today. Live with all the gusto you can get. You know, that's certainly not a new philosophy. In the Word of God, Solomon described it very well in the book of Ecclesiastes. I say to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was fruitfulness. You find that in Ecclesiastes 2:1. You know, it's important to discern the difference between the pride of wealth and wealth itself. We're talking about suffering for Christ. Christ never condemned the wealth. It belongs to God. He condemns the wealthy minded of this world. God has made many people wealthy, both spiritually and materially. But wealth was never a sign of God's blessing. When you go to 1 Corinthians 4:9, overwhelming those selected by God to manage a large surplus to feed his sheep manifest humility and not pride. My. You know, one of the evidence of Christianity is that we desire to keep and obey God's statute and his commandment. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus. When you think about suffering for Christ's sake, ooh, hallelujah. I want to keep Miss Pretty in prayer today. I'm going to stop right here because she's in need of something right now. And we're going to ask God to come in and intervene right now in her life. Give her what she needs. He already know about it. We don't have to call. We don't have to text and say what it is. He know the need. But when you ask for prayer, we stop what we're doing because we are living in the supernatural. And we know, Miss Pretty, whatever you need right now, God is standing right there with open doors. All you have to do is open your mouth and just let him know, I stand in the need of prayer right now. This is what I need, the Heavenly Father. I'm leaning and depending on you. Gracious Father, I ask you to touch Miss Pretty right now, the Heavenly Father. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, the Heavenly Father. You made her. You know all about her, the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father, I ask you to turn up everything, the Heavenly Father, on behalf of her right now, the Heavenly Father. Open up every door, the Heavenly Father, every avenue, the Heavenly Father. If it's sickness in the body, touch and heal, the Heavenly Father. If it's family issues, touch right now, the Heavenly Father. If it's a job issue, the Heavenly Father, we know you are greater than that job, the Heavenly Father. If it's a financial need, the Heavenly Father, we ask you to send the finances in right now, the Heavenly Father, because you alone are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. If it's a relationship that she's going through right now, the Heavenly Father, you already know what's best for her, the Heavenly Father. And we give you the praise. We give you the honor, dear Heavenly Father, because she's been ridiculed. She's been talked about. She's been lied on. But, dear Heavenly Father, she's standing for you today, dear Heavenly Father. She's standing giving you everything that she have today, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Lord. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And thank God. You know, in 1 John 3:22, and do what is pleasing to him, we are called light and God's people. You know, light and darkness do not mix together. You know, when you see the light amongst darkness, you know the difference. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, when we are called light and God's people, nowhere does God say that to follow him who ought to live like a king. In fact, he said that the tug of this world and its pleasure will be the greatest threat to our walk with him. You know, 1 John 2:15 said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. My. We're talking today suffering for Christ's sake. You know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Sometimes your suffering is designed to help you grow and mature. You know, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So some of you that may be listening to this program this morning or later on, you're going to suffer persecution when you're walking with Jesus. You know, the world hates Christ. So when you identify with him, you can expect that the world that inflicts suffering on him will also inflict suffering on you. You're not exempt this morning. And I know you're saying in your mind, can anything good come from suffering? Yes, it can. I went over to Job, and Job 5:17-18 say, consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. For though he wounded, he also bandaged. He struck, but his hands also healed. You know, suffering brings great renewal and healing when it drives you to God. And I went over to Romans, and it said we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. You know, certainly it's initially easy to attract and attack people to Christians by a show of wealth. But the evidence in the world around us tell us that the effect and change live and in lives is very temporal. You know, a Christian who witnesses is based on a supply of material things will quickly find that people are interested only if God will promise to do the same thing for them. My. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, if God will promise to do the same thing for them, if he won't or doesn't, then they took and they look elsewhere. Give them a little truth about what Christ really expects in the way of commitment. And most will say, it's not for me. As in the word of God, I know you read it. It says, sell your possession and give to charity. How many of you would do that for Christ's sake? Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven. That's where your treasures are, in heaven, where no thief can come near, nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You'll find that in Luke 12:33-34. We give God praise this morning for what he's doing, because he is truly, truly worthy this morning. You know, it's clear that neither a voluntary rejection of all wealth nor a display of material success are part of a balanced Christian walk when we're talking about suffering for Christ. God will help Christians at each end of the material spectrum. It is good, and it's God's right, to determine how we are to be used. You know, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answer back to God, or woman? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? You'll find that in Romans 9 and 20. You know, there is little danger that imbalance of self-imposed sacrifice will catch one in our society. Sacrifice to most of us means driving a standard ship car without air conditioning. However, there is a growing emphasis in Christianity toward a materialistic lifestyle that is reflected in de-emphasizing on caring for the needs of others. You know, once that attitude catch on within our church, the priority shift from caring for the poor, invalid, and elderly to building bigger and better buildings. You know, we need buildings in which to minister adequately, but we don't need palaces. You know, the dangers of affluence have been a real threat in every generation of Christianity. But today it's become an epidemic. We're talking about suffering for Christ. You know, the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. You know, and no disciple is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, yes. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We're talking about suffering for Christ today. You can endure suffering with patience and great hope. When you have the perspective that what you are enduring will work for your good, for Christ's glory up of the building up of his church. My. We're talking today on suffering for Christ. I want to thank Area Code 409 for coming on. I know they're at work and they're trying to listen in. Thank you so much for coming on this morning to listen to Joy and Peace. First show of the year, Suffering for Christ. You know, you can endure suffering with patience and great hope. When you have the perspective that what you are enduring will work for your good, for Christ's sake, for Christ's glory, or for the building up of his church. My. You know, I know you're saying, how do I stay close to God in time of suffering? I'm glad you asked. You know, in Psalms 22 and 24, the Lord has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cry for help, recognizing that God has not abandoned you. When you look at those on the street that's homeless under the bridge in various cities throughout this country, your heart go out. You see, you feel their suffering. Are they suffering for their sake, for Christ's sake? Or are they just out there because they don't want to work, or they don't want to behave, they don't want to mind? Because Christ didn't put that on us where we have to go from pillar to post. He didn't want us to have lack, sickness, and disease. He didn't come for that. He come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. My. You know, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Today we are talking about suffering for Christ. You know, recognizing the suffering is not forever. In the dark hour of the night of suffering, it is hard to think of a morning of joy and gladness. But tears of suffering waters the seed of joy. My.
I think I need to say that one again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Recognizing that suffering is not forever. You're not going to suffer no matter what you're going through right now. You feel that you don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's there. You coming on it. You approaching it. It may be slow, but you are approaching that light. You're coming to the end of your tunnel. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. You know, though the Lord bring grief, he also show compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. Recognize that God is a loving God and does not enjoy the suffering that comes your way. But his compassion and care will see you through your time of discipline and pain. You know, anything that you go through, God is right there by your side. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you. You have an angel even right there. Give them the assignment that to go on and take care of the things that need to be taken care of. You know, Elijah had already come, but he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer. You see people suffering going through every day, people doing all manner of things. But we have to know, without a shadow of a doubt, who we are serving, who died on the cross for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My. You know, in Matthew 17 and 12, Elijah had already come, but he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him, just like they're abusing you. You know, Luke 24 and 26 say, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Just think about how God suffered for each and every one of us today. Do you feel you could suffer for your children, your loved ones, like Christ suffered for each and every one of us? He died on the cross for us. He went through everything for us. And when you think about it, the suffering you're going through right now, it's a light affliction. What you're going through is just light right now. My. In Romans 9 and 20, it says, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answer back to God the things molded when I say to the molder? My. You know, God will have Christians at each end of the material spectrum. It is God's right to determine how we are to be used. You know, there's a little danger that the imbalances of self in full sacrifice will catch us or one of us in our society. Sacrifice to most of us means, you know, so many different things. We have to come to the realization on the suffering for Christ. My. You know, obviously we need building in which to minister and adequate. But beware. The word of God says beware. And be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possession. You can find that in Luke 12 and 15. You know, without a surplus, little could be done in God's work. So obvious, some Christians must have an abundance. God allow us to use part of that abundance for ourselves and our family. That amount will there according to God's unique plan for each of us. But when our attitudes become controlled by our possessions rather than by God's word, we're no longer useful to God. My. You know, now he was also saying to his disciples, that was a certain rich man who had a steward, and his steward was reported to him as squandering his possession. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. You'll find that in Luke, the 16th chapter, 1 through 2. You know, that warning is one that each Christian should consider well. What a shame it is to be deceived by Satan into training and trading that internal of riches for a few shiny trinkets. Just think, you've been suffering for Christ. You want to get your reward, your crown. And you will get some of your rewards here. You don't have to just go to heaven to get your reward. You need to start pulling down, get the keys and start pulling down your gifts from heaven now, today, in the supernatural. Start pulling down the things God have for you today out the supernatural. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we recognize that suffering is not forever, and we end with those who believe in Jesus, who are welcoming to heaven. You know, all praises to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our tribulation, our trials, our trouble, so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Today we are talking about suffering for Christ. Are you willing to suffer for Christ today? Are you really, really, really ready to be ridiculed, talked about, slandered, gossip on, hater, to follow Christ? Think about that before you answer. Because it's all about him. It's not about us. It's about giving him praise, giving him the glory, giving him the honor. And the word said, be happy when you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious spring of God rests upon you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When we think about that suffering, why am I suffering? Had you thought about it? Is it some sin in your life? If it's something God taking you through that you're suffering? Have you been lying, cheating? Have you been backbiting, gossiping? Have you been putting daggers in people's back, heads, and everywhere? Or have you been serving God all that you know how, giving them everything that you have? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I know this is not a shout message today, but just think about suffering for Christ and living like a king. You know, when you just think about that topic, suffering for him, how many of you all can really say in radio land, those on iPads, those on the computer, those listening by radio, have you actually suffered for Christ? Have you been talked about, misused, abused, kicked out of the church? I was just thinking of some things that we as Christians do that we shouldn't do. And do you go to God and ask him to forgive you? Or do you just go on honky-dory like nothing is going on? Well, today, we're going to suffer on this side for Christ's sake. If you truly a believer, you're going to go through something. He didn't say this was going to be a flower bed of ease.
you're going to go through something in this life. And you have to learn how to suffer for him. When you say that I'll go, you're going to be talked about. You have to really think about that. Suffering for Christ's sake. You know, and sometimes people sincerely felt that in order to serve Christ, one had to relinquish all ownership of worldly goods and look poor. No. He decided to sell his family home. No. Most of their furniture and majority of their other possession. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give God praise today. We thank him for this topic today. We thank you for each and every person that have come to the line today, those that's listening in, on suffering for Christ's sake. Because when you're suffering for his sake, he's not having a pity party with you. He's not giving you all your wants and your needs. That's when you're suffering for him. You're going to have to give up some things. And we thank God today. We give him the praise. We give him the glory. Because all the honor is due him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But we're going to do for God's sake.
Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say amen.
Everybody.
let the church say, the church
say,
all we needed was a word from the Lord. We've got it, Lord.
Let
the church
say,
oh,
let
the whole church
say,
God has spoken. Well, let the church, let the church say, let the church say. To die,
amen.
Knowing that God is not a man,
amen.
He just can't lie,
amen.
In spite of what,
amen.
What the devil does,
amen.
No, you've got a word,
amen.
That has come from above.
I want to thank everyone that came on the show today. I hope it was something said, a scripture read that will help you along your journey this year in the year 2013. And again, I say Happy New Year. Thank you so much for coming in to listen to the show. Those that stayed a while, those that stayed the entire time, thank you so much for making a great show. Starting this year. Thank you so much. It's a way out.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that make me white as snow. No other found I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, oh, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power.
From day to day.
to the heart.